we have our ushers come up. We're going to take tithe and offering in just a second. And while they're coming up, happy Father's Day. While we were worshiping, I was just thinking for a second about Father. And the vital role in the kingdom of having mentors, having fathers, having people that are raising us up. And I mean, and I was one of the lucky ones that had an amazing father. But there are people sitting in this room. There are people sitting in our community, and it just keeps going out, that need mentors, that need fathers, that need someone to come beside them. We could probably all think of someone in our circle that needs someone to reflect the love of Jesus, like a dad, like a friend, like a mentor. And what a great day, Father's Day, to think for a second about who is someone out there that needs the love that he's put inside me. Who needs a father? Who needs a mentor? The attack of our enemy is strong in this area. He knows that if he can destroy the father, he knows if he can distract the father, he knows that if young men and women can grow up without that influence, if brothers don't support each other, like, he can destroy families. He can end work that God has done in lives. He is after the fathers. So, man, if you know anyone that has been a father to you, whether earthly, you know, by blood, by anything, tell them thank you. And then spread that to someone that might not have that or needs that. You don't have to be related to someone by blood to be their mentor, to support them, to love on them. It will not return void. So, just an encouragement. And definitely find the people that are your fathers and your mentors and say, hey, I appreciate the love of Jesus inside of you. I appreciate the work. I appreciate the struggle. I appreciate that you're leaning into what God has for all of us. And then be thankful for the ones, just like last time we talked about this, be thankful, so thankful for the ones that are doing that, and then say, Lord, where can I be that? Okay, and I know it's Father's Day, but ladies, you can mentor. You can be a great mother and friend with a father's heart as well, for sure. That's not just a guy thing. Okay, I'm going to do some announcements real quick while we're taking the offering. I guess I should pray first, though. Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for Father's Day. I thank you that we truly have a perfect example of what a father is in you, in the life that Jesus lived, like in your word, Lord. I just pray that we would turn to that example on how we are supposed to be, in your mighty name, amen. Okay. I might have grabbed my wrong note. Tori, do I have a sheet of paper laying there on that seat in front of you? Because I got notes, so I don't miss it. I could probably do it. I wrote some extra notes on it, but I lost it. Okay. Ladies, if you are not signed up for the Ladies Life Group, if you are signed up for the Ladies Life Group, it starts this Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. Books are $13 a piece. They're on the information center right now. Please read the introduction in chapter 1. That starts this week. We're going to invite John and Shannon up here to talk about Launch Point Young Adult Ministries.
Hi, I'm John. This is my wife Shannon. So we've been attending this church probably about 2 years. And a couple of months ago I noticed, because I'm like an observer type person, but now that my secret's out, I probably won't be. And I noticed a couple of months ago somewhere over there in the church, after church, there was probably 10 or 15 young people gathered over there talking. And I thought, man, that's pretty cool. And then they were only there for probably about 10 minutes or something, and then they left the church or left the building. So a couple other weeks went by, and I kept observing that happening. And I thought, you know, I think the Lord was kind of telling me, there's not really a place for people that age to gather. So then I kept praying about it. It's like, what am I supposed to do about this? Kept praying. And the Lord says, are you going to do something about this? So when he talks to me, I kind of listen. I've learned that in many years of life. So then I approached Arby and Kathleen and said, you know, is there a need for some place for these 18 to 30 years old, right? 18 to 30s, to just kind of meet together and just talk, you know, and have a place. It was really interesting how God works when Jeff came up and was talking about fathers or mentorships, you know, and that's kind of our idea, you know, just giving them a positive place where God is in the center, where they can come and gather and get food. She likes to cook. So that is actually happening. We got the green light, and so that's happening this coming Sunday at our house. And if you don't know where that is, we'll find a way to give you the address. I don't know if we should. Yeah? Okay, if you guys got a pen or paper or something, or your phones, it's 179 View Road, and it's just right up that road right there. Go near the top. It's a figure eight, and we're on that side of the map, or of the hill. And it'll probably be around 12:30 or 1 o'clock, and we'll have food. And if you're interested, show up. It's very casual. You know, you guys don't know us. We don't know you. So we would like to get to know you guys, because there's quite a few here that maybe need a little influence or mentorship. Thanks.
So to give you a little bit of our background, we were college pastors. We fell into it. The Lord called us into it for many years. And when we moved here, we thought our ministry was done, and we thought we were retiring. So it didn't happen, and the Lord started speaking to John about this, and I was like, oh, no, not again. And not in a bad way, but feeling like there were others who were so much more equipped and so much more prepared. But as we've gotten to know different kids in that group, or you're always going to be kids, I'm sorry. But we've seen holes that they have. And there was a message several months ago about being fathers and being mothers, just to reiterate what Jeff was saying. And that we're never done parenting. When our kids are gone, we're still parenting. And we should be looking to our community to parent other kids and other young adults. And I mean, many of you are young enough to be our kids, but we want to come alongside you in your parenting of this launch point there's, you know, it's like you graduate from high school or you graduate from college and poof, you're grown up and you know everything to do, right? Well, we've been experienced enough that we know that that's not true. So that's our heartbeat, and that's the heartbeat behind this group, that there would be a safe place for you to come, to share, to ask questions. There's other people in this church that are going to come alongside us, and it's just going to be a really great time. And we prayed about a name for the group, and Launch Point just kept coming up and coming up. And so that's the name of this group, is Launch Point Young Adults. So if you're from 18 to 30, if you have friends in that age group, bring them. Like John said, we're just right up the street. And we know, to quote Field of Dreams, if you build it, they will come. We know if you feed them, they will come. So
that's very true.
We're going to feed you. So that's it.
Thanks, Jeff.
What if we're over 30 and we like food? three more things really quick. Three more things. You know, we just had our first meeting this morning for the Montana missions trip over in the youth this morning before church. And man, like I start getting excited when we're actually talking about what we're going to do and why we're going to do it. That we're building a community, that we're building a team that gets to go together, learn about each other, learn the traits and characters, trait and character that God has put inside each of us, and figure out a way to utilize that, all for the mission of bringing the glory to God. Like when we start actually hitting the ground and doing that, I get excited. Like it was really fun this morning to see people that are like, I just want to go serve. There is still space for that. We have I think we have 7 or 8 people that are like, I'm going, and we want to take a few more than that. So that's happening in 3 weeks. So come talk to me or sign up, and then we're going to continue meeting and planning for that. If you can't go because of scheduling, we have another way that's coming up next week that you can be part of that trip and the Gleanings trip, which I'll talk about in just a second very quickly, and then beyond. Next week, we're doing a fundraiser, a missions fundraiser for this church. We're going to go, I'm scouting a couple locations. I think it's going to be Elk City area, but that's just a maybe at this point. We will let you know for sure. But next week, we're doing a firewood getting camp out, where we're going to get a bunch of firewood, and we're going to sell it to local people. We're going to deliver it and stack it for them. But mainly, we're going to go up in the woods, we're going to camp out for a few days, we're going to get a bunch of firewood, and we're going to sell it to help offset the costs, because I don't know if you noticed, but gasoline is a couple cents up. Food's a couple cents up. So we're going to do that, one, to help offset the costs of some of these trips, two, to build community. I see the Ladyboros. Every time I say community, I like look at you guys, like community. To build community, to build a team, to go out. And if you can't go out because of your schedule on this trip and it's going to be the next one you go on, that's great. This is an opportunity for some of you, like me, that think getting wood is like vacation almost, right? There's people in here that are like, getting wood is like vacation, especially when in the evenings we're eating together, sitting around a campfire, talking about life. This is a great way to support these trips and have a good time. So this is your first notice, but next week, the 27th through the 29th or 30th, there'll be people kind of coming in and out of the location when they can. That's an opportunity. We're going to raise money for the trips. And then finally, parents, if you have a high school age kid that you're like, man, I really wish that my kid could go hang out with a bunch of mentor age kids and other kids that are passionate about Jesus and spend a week doing something that's hard, spend a week that's do something that's fun, spend a week with kids in their age range and a little older that are passionate about Jesus, the Danuba trip is coming. August 6th, we're taking a group of kids down to Danuba. We're going to work at the YWAM base down there. We're going to travel together. We're going to serve together. We're going to get to know each other. We're going to have a lot of fun. It's an opportunity for your kid to hang out with some amazing young adults. And I have a list growing of some of those young adults that I'm contacting this week. There's a sign up back there, but if you're like, wow, I think that would be something that I would love for them to do, you can talk to me if you want more information. I'll continue to give you information about that. We'll have some videos next week about what the base looks like. But just keep that in your mind for your youth and young adults. And now we're going to release the children for Children's Church. Don't forget to sign them in. Don't forget to sign them out at the end of service. And Arby, come on up, sir. Yes, you can have your notes.
Thank you, sir. Must have water. All right, how we doing today? Good, good. Happy Father's Day, gentlemen. Whether you have had your biological children or not, happy Father's Day. Fatherhood is a big ministry that God has given us as men. And like has been stated, it travels far beyond our biological children. You have been created and designed in the image and likeness of the Lord God Almighty, our Heavenly Father. So you are equipped and prepared to do the work of a father in your community, in your church body, in your family. So go forth and do that. It's an awesome, amazing privilege and gift. So today we're going to talk about the heart of the Father. Of course, the Father, our example, the Lord God Almighty, is who we're going to be looking at. We've been called to have the heart of the Father within us, to express it to those around us. So before we get started, we're going to talk to God for a moment. Do you guys like to talk to God? I like to talk to him. Father, we thank you, Lord God, that we could be here in your house today, God, learning of your word, God, learning of your heart and your will for our lives. And God, we ask that you would lead and direct us. God, as we go forth from this day, God, that we would act accordingly, God, to your heart, God, to what moves your heart, to what stirs your heart. God, that we would act in your love and compassion toward those around us. God, that we would lead, guide, train, and direct those around us. God, into a future that is pleasing to you. Father, we thank you for this, and we do not take that responsibility lightly. Oh God, we are honored to serve in your kingdom in this way. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God's good. I was kind of weak. I was really weak. Are you guys dragging? I mean, summer's really coming. Like, God is good. Yeah, that's way better. A little bit of enthusiasm. I mean, come on. God is so gracious. I don't know about you guys, but I go through my week, all week long, just like little bits and pieces. I see people, I think of people, I have experiences. I was like, man, God, you're so good. I am so blessed. I am so privileged that you call me your own, that you allow me to serve in your kingdom in this way, that you allow me to parent these children that I'm raising and are so amazing, that I get to be married to this beautiful, wonderful woman that you've given me as a gift from you. I don't know about you guys, but all week long, that's where I am. I was like, God, I'm amazed by your generosity. I was driving off the mountain the other night, leaving my bear bait. I'm just looking in the distance to the west and seeing the sunset over the horizon. It's new and different every time I drive off that mountain. And it's gorgeous. And I'm just like, thank you, Lord. Like, it's a real small percent of the earth that gets to do that for fun. Gets to drive up into the mountains late in the afternoon and go climb in a tree stand and watch bears come and eat gummy bears. Or peanut butter or licorice or whatever I fed them that day. Hot dogs. Just gets to watch them do their bear stuff and climb trees and jump out of trees and roll around on the ground. And then climb out of tree stand, drive off the mountain, enjoy the sunset. That's an amazing privilege that God gives us. I am so thankful that we have a Heavenly Father that loves us. So thankful. I just look at His creation and I'm in awe all the time. Like these salmon that swim from the ocean and find their way back up here and go 100 miles beyond us up these little streams to make more baby salmon. And today's sermon's not about the birds and the bees, so we're going to leave that one alone. But it's just amazing, God's design and how He's created each individual animal and bug and fish and bird. And it's like, wow. And today we're going to talk about fathers. We're pretty amazing too, right? Or at least we have the ability to be amazing because we're created in the image and likeness of the Lord God Almighty. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, first piece of the Father's heart we're going to look at. We're going clear back to the beginning. Genesis 2, verse 18. The Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." Who is that helper? It's the woman or wife, companion. Thank you, Lord, that you gave me a helper. Thank you, Lord, that you gave me a companion in life. But God's heart in this is, it's not good for my children to be alone. It's not good for us to be isolated and alone. But we are supposed to be in relationship with one another. And I love this word here that he uses as helper in the Greek, is ezer kenegdo, which is the same term used later in Scripture describing the Holy Spirit as our helper. Don't discount your wife. Don't discount the ladies. God has given them to you as your greatest asset on earth. Helper, not slave, not servant, not subordinate, but your helper to empower you, to strengthen you, to encourage you, to come alongside of. That's pretty awesome. God doesn't want you to be alone. In John chapter 16, verse 7, Jesus is getting ready to ascend. He's talking to his disciples and he says, "Hey, I must go so the helper can come," or so the counselor can come. God doesn't only give us the helpmate, a wife. He also gives us the Holy Spirit so that we are not alone. Have you ever been alone but not been lonely? I'm there a lot. I like to go in the woods alone and hang out and just be alone with God. But all the times I've been out there alone, I've never felt lonely. Now, I have been in a room crowded with people. I was not alone, but I felt lonely. You've got to know the difference. It's okay to get alone, but we should not feel lonely. This part of being alone God's talking about is, I don't want you to feel alone. I don't want you to feel abandoned or betrayed or misused. I want you to be in relationship. I want you to have companionship. I want you to experience love one to another. So think about it. Are you alone or are you lonely? Because there's a big difference in those two. Another part of the Father's heart, Genesis 1:29. Genesis chapter 1, verse 29. Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food." A father's heart is to provide. To provide for, to produce. Of course, that's in Genesis. Since the beginning, God's plan, God's heart toward us is to bring provision into our lives. And of course, he goes on to say in the New Testament in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, the disciples are worried about, well, what are we going to wear? What are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? Where are we going to sleep? What? Anybody else fall into that trap? The what ifs? Don't lose your life in the what ifs. God will take care of it. He says so in his word. But what does he tell them? He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the rest of that stuff will be added to you. But make your first priority to seek the Lord first, his kingdom first. Sometimes his kingdom doesn't make sense on this earth. It's an upside down kingdom compared to how the world looks at a lot of stuff. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and he will take care of the rest. And that's a promise you can stand on in his word. Say, God, I don't know how you're going to do it, and I've been there many times in my life. God, I don't see an end in sight. God, I don't see how this is going to work. But your word tells me in Matthew 6:33 that if I seek you first, and if I'm seeking your righteousness, which I believe I am, then your word says you will be my provider. So I'm standing on that, God, and I don't know how and I don't know when, but I'm trusting in you and the promises of your word. And I can't tell you, we don't have time today, but I could tell you of miracle after miracle in my life where God has came through and provided in ways that it was like, are you kidding me? Thank you, Lord. That was better than I could have done. That was amazing. That was wonderful. I'll tell you one quick one. I broke my foot 1 year playing basketball and was off on crutches. Couldn't get our firewood in for the winter. I'm like, man, I don't know how we're going to do this. And I was working and we had new baby kids at home and working a full-time job and being a youth pastor full-time also. And like, man, I don't have time to go get wood. And pretty soon fall's coming. Like, God, I don't know how. I don't know where. But like, we need wood in the woodshed because it was our only heat source at that time. And then this tree cutting company is coming through town trimming trees and they pull into my driveway. Why my driveway and all the houses in town? So, hey, we're cutting a bunch of trees in town. Need somewhere to deliver the wood. Can we bring it here? We noticed you have a chimney. What? Like, only but God, right? Like, that's happened to us dozens and dozens and dozens of times where we have left it in God's hands and said, I don't know how, God, but your word says, and I believe your promises, so we're going to stand on it. And God just shows up with a truckload of wood. And they brought us enough wood, I didn't have to get wood for 3 years. Yeah, it was wonderful. All I had to do was stack it in the woodshed. They dumped it right at the door of the woodshed. It was amazing. Thank you, Lord. The heart of the Father is to provide. Whatever it takes, I want to provide for my kids. Whatever, if I have to self-sacrifice, I want to provide for my kids. What do I have to give up so my kids can have it better than I did? That's the heart of the Father, to provide. Jeremiah 29:11. Jeremiah's in here somewhere, I know it. I saw it once. Okay, a couple of times. Jeremiah 29:11. Of course, this is after the children of Israel have been in exile forever and ever. And they're like, their hope is gone. They're like, what are we going to do? This is terrible. And God said, no, I've seen you since the beginning. I've got plans for you. Picking up at verse 11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Do you know, regardless of your life situation or circumstances, God's plans don't change for you. His plan A is still in motion for you. We might take side trails and rabbit trails and horse trails and whatever trails we take, but God's plan A is still valid for you. He's still moving you in that direction. He still has plans for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. That's the heart of the Father towards you. I don't want to harm you. I want to prosper you. I want you to have hope. I want you to know there's a future in store. That's the heart of a father. And I think about this, and I think, you know, like I want my kids to prosper. Like, I have plans for my kids. And I don't have, okay, on day one after graduation, you're getting this job, you're going to work it, you're going to go to college and get this degree. I don't have that kind of plan for my kid. But I have a plan that says, I want you to have the best future possible. And big picture, my plan for you is to get you to heaven. Number one goal. Like, if you make heaven for eternity, I'm satisfied with the plan for your life. Like, whether you become a doctor or a lawyer or the president of the United States or a pastor or a Sunday school teacher or work in the grocery store or whatever, I could care less. My main plan is to get you to heaven, that you would build a relationship with the Lord God Almighty, that you would have daily interactions with him and experience his love and his grace and his goodness in your life, and that we would dwell in eternity forever together. That's my big plan for my kids. And it's a big plan because the devil fights against them at every step, trying to derail them, trying to tick them off, trying to run them in the dirt. But what they need is a father to come alongside of them, love them and encourage them and strengthen them and empower them and say, you are enough. You are more than capable. You are a conqueror. You have the spirit of the living God inside of you. Nothing can stand in your way because Jesus Christ is the overcomer and he's in you. I don't want harm to come to my kids. That's definitely not my plan. For sure, not my plan. The Father's heart is not to harm, it's to help. I definitely have hope for the future of my kids. I have hope. They're amazing. They are gifts from God that he's entrusted me with to raise and train and develop. And then I get to launch them out into life with guided direction and accuracy. I believe that's why God refers them to arrows in our quiver, because they're supposed to be launched with accuracy, with guidance, with direction. And of course, their future. You know, it would be wonderful if they die with $1 billion in the bank and assets on the earth, but if they don't have anything but their salvation in Jesus Christ, that's a pretty amazing future. Life in eternity with the Lord God Almighty. John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, a couple of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. Part of the Father's heart is love. Like, how do you describe God? God is love. Like, big picture, God is love. That's about as much as you can sum it up. Other than that, it's just details and learning and living in relationship with him day by day. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God loves you so much that he went and made a way when there seemed to be no way. He made it possible, gave us the free gift of salvation so that we could inherit the kingdom of heaven for eternity. He doesn't stop there. Verse 17, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. God didn't come to condemn us. Do you know that hell was really created for Satan and his fallen angels? It was not created for humanity. It wasn't made for us. Heaven was made for us. That's the heart of the Father. This is the place I have gone and prepared for you. God loved us. In this verse, we see the heart of the Father is sacrifice and to serve. Good fathers sacrifice and serve well. Where's your heart in the heart of the Father? How well are you portraying the heart of the Father to those around you? I remember years ago I guided this hunt. It was a father-son. And they were like at each other's throats the whole time. I was like, wow. And I was young. I was probably 19 or 20 at the time. And I was thinking, man, this is a horrible relationship. And as the week went on, I learned that they were in business together. I'm like, yikes, you guys work together every day? And as we talked and went on, it's like, yeah, but they were mechanics. And it's like, yeah, but I have my tools. He has his tools. We don't mix. Like, we don't share. Like, he has his size shop. I have my size shop. We have separate lunchrooms, separate restrooms. Like, I was like, this is horrible. That is not the heart of the Father. The heart of the Father is to work together, to be compatible, to be a strength and encouragement, to build and support, to be a companion, to bring encouragement. Make sure your heart's right. Let's think about this last week and, well, probably since graduation, I've just heard from several people that I've ministered to for years, some of them. And you never know where the seed goes that you plant all the time. But every once in a while, seed comes back to you. And young people speak into your life and they talk to you and say, hey, remember when? I'm like, no, that's too long ago. Because I'm not young enough to be in the launch point crowd. So I'm like, no, I forgot that actually, but thanks for reminding me. And they're like, I remember the day when you helped me. I remember the day you spoke those words into my life. And it encouraged me and it empowered me. And this is what I'm doing today with my life. I just love those moments. When I get a call from one of my youth kids, hey, Pastor Arby, I just wanted you to know I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. That's like big news. That's amazing. But being a father, you don't always know what the words you're saying have impact on. You don't always know what the actions you're portraying. On Father's Day, I get texts from the community and people, or Facebook messages sometimes, and people, hey, just want to say happy Father's Day. I see you around town with your kids, and you're one of the most amazing men and fathers I know. And I don't say that to brag. I say that to say people are watching you. And when you put the stamp of Jesus Christ on your life and say, I go in the name of Jesus, you represent who he is. And if they can't see a loving, kind, and compassionate father in you, they're never going to give him a chance. They're going to say, well, if that guy serves Jesus and acts like Jesus, I don't want anything to do with Jesus. You sometimes are the living word that people read and their perception of who Christ is in their life. How well are you representing and reflecting? And hopefully behind closed doors at home, you're the same guy you are on the street. And I think if you ask my kids, they would tell you that. Just don't ask my wife. No, I'm just kidding. She would tell you that also. So you should be the same guy at home behind closed doors that you are on the street. There shouldn't be two of you. I think the Bible calls that double-minded. And it's a really bad thing. We need to be God's ambassadors of amazing fathers in the community. We need to be God's ambassadors wherever we go, whatever we do. We don't get to take vacation. And the only retirements I read about in the Bible, they usually end with, and he breathed his last. Retirement's not a God plan. That's a modern day American culture plan. Which is great. For me, retirement looks like, okay, I have everything paid off, so now I have more time to do the ministry I want to do instead I have to work to pay bills. But like ministry is in me. I'm going to do it until I die. Like until I breathe my last, I'm not going to stop working for the King. I'm not going to stop serving. I'm not going to stop loving on kids in our community. Because it's what God has called me to do. So if you're a father, you don't get to retire. When they turn 18, you're not done. You get to be a father until you breathe your last. Isn't that exciting? Yay! We get to be fathers till we breathe our last, and that's our mandate from God. It's what he's entrusted us with. Now we get to go to this fun story in Luke chapter 15, the lost son or the prodigal son. Luke 15, picking up at verse 11. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to the fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired hands.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to the father, 'I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf, because he has him back, safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So the father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fatted calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we have to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" What a powerful story about the Father's heart. It's one of my favorite stories about the heart of the Father toward us. It starts out with this son coming to his father, basically saying when he asked for his inheritance, that was a great sign of disrespect and dishonor. It was basically saying, "Father, I wish you were dead so I could have what belongs to me." That's what this son is saying to his father. I mean, the father had every right to be like, "Get out of here. Like, get off the family farm. Don't come back. Don't take the inheritance." But the father's heart was, "As you wish." He divides his inheritance and gives it to him. Even after this great insult. And then he goes away to this faraway land. which if you look geographically where the father's farm was in the faraway land, it was like just across the sea a few miles. Like, so from the father's front porch, he could probably see over to the Decapolis, a faraway place where his son was living, a riotous living, spending, squandering his inheritance. And obviously, as we read later, the father saw him a long way off coming. The father had been looking for his son's return. He was awaiting his son's return. This is the heart of the father. Think about this son, although. He spent all his earnings, rather inheritance, in ungodly fashions, in dishonoring ways to his family, to his God. He's at the bottom of the pit, literally with the pigs, and realizing even pigs are eating better than I. What point of unworthy do you think he was at in that moment? And he could have completely disqualified himself and say, I have no place at my father's table. But he was at least wise enough to think, maybe I could go home and be a servant. My father's servants live much better than I. Maybe I at least he had the heart enough to return and repent. Say, Father, I'm sorry. God's not after a perfect heart. He's after a repentant heart. If you will turn from your wicked ways and return to me, he says, seek me. I will be found by you. This son, even as lowly as he was, said, I'm going to go and repent. And you hear it in his words, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. It's not, Father, I'm right and I did everything well and life just got hard. He could have played that card. Like, you know, I invested money and it just didn't pan out and it wasn't my fault and the investors stole from me. And he could have played all those cards and said, not my fault, but, what if. But he took full responsibility. And that's what repentance is. It's, hey, I have done wrong. I want to be made in right standing with you again. And if that place for me is as a servant, I'd be happy to be your servant right now because I'm starving to death. And the heart of the father is, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him, which all of these were very undignifying gestures at this time and era for the culture. Men of wealth and position did not run. They did not throw their arms around one another. They did not kiss and embrace. This wasn't something they were supposed to do. Supposed to send the servants to go fetch the son and bring him to you and make him bow at your feet and kiss your rings and kiss your feet. He said, no, that's my son. Can you feel the heart of the father in that moment? He's longing for that relationship. The Lord God Almighty longs for that relationship with you as well. And that's the heart of the Father. He doesn't care what you've done or where you've been or what you've lost, but he cares about restoring you to your rightful place at his table as his son or daughter. All you need to do is repent. Say, Father, I'm sorry. Father, receive me once again. I've sinned against you and I've sinned against whoever else you've sinned against. Forgive me. I'm sorry. Can I have a place at your table again? I'll be the servant. I'll scrub the floors. I'll clean the toilets. And the father says, no. No. The son's attitude was, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. The father's attitude, you're always worthy. You're created in my image, my likeness. You are always worthy. Come home. The father's heart is always calling us home and into deeper relationship with him. I don't know about you guys, but this story undoes me. It tears my heart open to think that God would love me so much that he wants a relationship with me. And I can look back over my life and say, I've sinned. I've been wrong. I ran. And look at what a mess I am. God doesn't see any of that. God sees Arby washed in the blood of Jesus, perfect and whole and restored and in right standing with the Father. And that's how he sees you too. When you come in repentance, say, Father, forgive me. And then he remembers it no more. We sometimes have trouble forgetting. Yeah, God is so gracious. He is so good. I love this part. Let's have a feast and celebrate. I like to feast and celebrate. We just finally had our last graduation party yesterday. I think we're done for summer. We've been partying and celebrating graduations for 5 weeks now, I think. It's been awesome. It's been fun. But I've gained, I think, 15 pounds. Like, there's got to be rules for graduation parties. Like, you can only have celery and carrots with no ranch to dip it in. Only like rice crackers, because nobody will eat those anyway. And like maybe water as a beverage, you know, no Kool-Aids or punches or sodas. But I love that. The Father's not, yeah, just come home, just go clean up your room. And he's like, no, we're celebrating. We're excited. We're happy. We're throwing a party. My son has returned. This is the same excitement the Father has when we return. When we walk in sin, we are apart from the Father. But when we repent and say, Father, forgive me, we're brought back into right standing and relationship with him. And he celebrates and rejoices with us. Luke 15, verse 7. Oh, wait, before we go there, verse 31. The Father's talking to the eldest son. He says, my son, the Father said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. We've got to know that everything the Father has is ours, and we've got to act accordingly. Like sometimes we sit in this boat and we're like, well, I can't because, and we make all these excuses. But if we go back to the beginning when God says, I made you in my image and likeness, what I have is yours. When Jesus left, he said, all a power and authority I leave with you. It's ours. We don't have to go to church to find it. We don't have to have a special prayer room in our house to find it. But Jesus Christ left it with us. When the Spirit of the living God resides inside of us because we've accepted him as Lord and Savior, his power and authority goes with us. All that the Father has is at our disposal. The storehouse of the kingdom of heaven. What does God say? He says, ask, seek, and knock. It will be open to you. It will be poured out to you. We've got to tap into our resources. Know what's available to you through Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. Don't be wondering, well, I couldn't have a party. I couldn't do that. Yes, you could. It's yours. It's available. When you're in right standing with the Lord God Almighty, his house is your house. His possessions are your possessions. His healing is your healing. Walk in power and authority as a child of God because he's given it to you. Now Luke 15, 7. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. I love that verse. If one would come to Jesus, all heaven rejoices. I think heaven's probably pretty loud. Like whenever I hear thunder, I think, what's God rearranging in heaven? Is he like repaving the streets of gold? Is he, you know, just imagination flowing out there? But God's loud. Have you ever had lightning slap near you, like within 100 feet or so of you? It is ear-piercing loud. Thunder sometimes, it shakes the windows. That's heaven roaring. What do you think heaven does when one lost soul finds Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior? It's an eruption of celebration and praise. It's awesome. All of heaven celebrates. The Father's heart is to celebrate, is to rejoice, is to restore, is to return in relationship. First John 1:9. First John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. The Father's heart is faithful and forgives. The Father's heart is faithful and forgives. Are you faithful? Do you forgive easily? I could call your employer and see if you're faithful. Do you show up on time? Are you where you're supposed to be when you say you're going to be there? I often, because of probably my position as a pastor, I get called often for, will you be my reference? And I often respond in this way, yes, I'll be your reference, but I'm going to be honest. Are you sure you want me to be your reference? And most of the time it's yes, and the people are amazing. But occasionally they're not so amazing. I'm like, I'm not sure you want me to give you a reference because my relationship with you has not been good. Like every time you say you'll be there, you bag out and don't show up. Every time you do show up, you're 30 minutes late. Every time you tell me you do something, it doesn't get done. I mean, that's not good on a resume. But the Father is faithful and quick to forgive. I love the heart of the Father in this story. Just the Son totally discredits, dishonors his Father. And the Father's heart is still to bring him back, to forgive, to love, to be faithful and wait for his return. And the last piece of the Father's heart that we're going to look at today, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. He, being God, has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart, yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. What the Father's heart does is instills mystery and wonder and curiosity inside of us. Do you ever just think what heaven, have you ever just sat down and thought what heaven might be like? And the closest thing I can relate it to is my most amazing experiences on earth times a billion or some big number, maybe a billion squared. Because his word tells me that I cannot think or imagine what heaven's going to be like. And like there's things on this earth that I experience that like blows my mind. Like this is so amazing. This is awesome. God, how'd you create this in 6 days? Like, yeah, I was just doodling one day, and there's a mountain and the river and some oceans and fishes. Do you ever wonder about what creation looked like? Like, God's just, woo, poo. Maybe I have too much of an imagination. I don't know. I do. I wonder what it looked like when God's creating stars. Does he have like a bag? He's throwing them into place, and like he's pitching fastballs or, oh, curve, slider, oh, do a couple underhands. What did it look like? I don't know. I cannot fathom or imagine what God was doing in creation. And then he tops it off with little old us, little bitty human beings. Now think about us compared to the galaxy. We're like these little tiny, not even specks. He's like, in my final creation, let us make man in our image and likeness. Let us breathe the breath of life into them. And I love going into the mountains and looking at the expanse and it's just a drip in the bucket to the earth. But I feel like a really, really small drip in the bucket compared to what I'm looking at. Like, but God so loved me. And it creates wonder and imagination in my mind. Like, what's heaven going to be like? What's eternity going to be like? Like, we're going to wait for 10 billion years and then we still have eternity ahead of us. Like, that blows my mind. I can't think outside of time because all I know is time. And we have 24 hours today. We got to get our work done. Oh, there's only 365 days in this year. We've got to get stuff done. What do you do when it's eternity? Do you guys think about that stuff? The heart of the Father should compel inside of you curiosity and wonder and imagination and like, because with God, the sky literally is the limit. Like the pyramids don't amaze me. I mean, they're amazing, but like I know that God gave them wisdom and they built them. I don't know how they did it. That part's amazing. But it's like, I know where the wisdom came from. God can give me that same wisdom for today, for my situations, my circumstances, my business plan, my whatever, whatever, whatever. But the heart of the Father is to instill that mystery, that wonder, that curiosity. You ever hang out with little kids much? I do a lot. It's amazing what comes out of them. Their little plans, and my daughter's like super creative. My birthday was this last week, and like there's been this Ritz cracker box sitting on the computer desk. And I'm like, who had this out and didn't throw it away? It's like I've been watching it for days, like who's gonna throw it away? Who got this out? Finally, I'm like, all right, I'm throwing it away. And then I grab it and it like squishes and I'm like, what? And I look and there's no bag inside. I'm like, what? And then I open it up and realize it's this birthday card that my daughter had made me. And it's got writings and drawings and glitter and all kinds of fun stuff in it. I'm like, you didn't give this to me. Like, it's just been sitting there for all week. But that wonder and amazement, like, what can I make an empty Ritz cracker box into? The most amazing birthday card ever. That's the amazement and wonder that we're supposed to have to see value in any and everything and everyone. That's the heart of the Father. To instill that wonder, to instill that curiosity. In John chapter 14, verse 1 through 4. Except for I can't find it in 1 John. I have to go to the right John. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 4. Jesus speaking to his disciples here, trying to give them some comfort. He says, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. The heart of the Father is to prepare, to make space, to make plans, to give good directions. That's the heart of the Father. You should make plans for people in your life. You should make space for people in your life. God has went before us, and there's many passages in the Bible that talk about eternity and what heaven's going to be like, but big picture, God went and prepared for you and I to be there with him in eternity. Who are you preparing and making space for in your life to walk through life with you, to journey through life with you? I want to close with this one story, a young man that was here last week. A kid I've coached for years in baseball years ago, and now he's off in college and doing his thing. I was talking with him, he came and found me after church last week, and he said, hey coach, I just wanted to let you know, I'm at college, and I just want you to know that I'm leading Bible studies, and I'm serving on the worship team, and leading in music and just loving God. I was like, oh, that's amazing. Like, I don't know sometimes about seeds I plant, where they end up, where they go, but I love those stories. Seeing this young man on fire for God, serving God wholeheartedly, leading other people to Jesus. That's the heart of the Father being transferred to the next generation so they can go and lead and do well. So it's not about me, it's about them. It's about those around me. Who would God put in your path for you to transfer the heart of the Father to love on and compassion and kindness and generosity? The heart of the Father. Do you have the heart of the Father? Yep. Can we get Kathleen a microphone, please? That'll be her original mic, Riley, I believe. So I want to give a few minutes for some prayer for some people. Maybe you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I say, wow, heaven sounds amazing. Salvation sounds amazing. I'm tired of starving to death. I want to return to the Father. I want to be restored to my rightful place at his table. I'm going to invite the prayer team to come forward. If you have any prayer needs today, they can be regarding the message or not. But come forward and get prayer. The Bible teaches us to agree with one another in prayer, to lay hands on and pray for. So that's why we like to have the prayer team up front. We like to give you opportunity to come up front. Or maybe you've accepted Jesus Christ just sitting in your seat saying, hey, I didn't believe before I walked in here today, but after today, I believe Jesus Christ, and I want him to be my Lord and Savior. Let one of us pastors know. Come and talk to us afterwards. We want to hear, because we want to rejoice with heaven and the lost being found and the lost coming home. We want to rejoice with all of heaven because we're excited for you, and we want to help walk through life with you. We want to journey with you, so come forward and get prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for your many blessings in our lives. God, we thank you for your Son, God, who gave it all. God, for the sacrifice he gave that we could have life and have it more abundantly. God, that we could inherit eternity. God, we thank you for your great generosity, for your kindness, for your compassion, your love. God, we ask your blessing upon those gathered here today. God, we ask that you would bless us. God, as we go our separate ways, God, give us strength, give us peace, give us protection as we go, Lord God. Father, we ask that you would expose to us, God, the areas of our hearts that are not like yours. God, that we could be better fathers to those around us. God, whether God, our biological children or not, God, but that we would express your heart, God, of love, of compassion, of care. God, that we would not be okay with those around us being alone. Father, we thank you for stirring up inside of our hearts the heart of the Father. God, we ask that we would go forth, God, as your ambassadors. God, making your name known as great in the world around us. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh, heart of mine,
thank you, Jesus.
Why must you stray from one so fair? You run away, and one more time you have to pay. He is the answer. So come home running. His arms, they are open wide. His name is Jesus, and he understands. He is the answer you are, that we are looking for. So come home running, just as you are, oh child of God, so dearly loved and ransomed by the Savior's blood and called by name, daughter and son, wrapped in the robe of righteousness. So come home running, his arms they are open wide, his name is Jesus, and he understands. He is the answer you are looking for. So come home running, just as you
are. If you have any other prayer needs, feel free to come forward and meet with the prayer team. They'll be here for a few more minutes. Also, a quick reminder to sign up for the missions fundraiser Firewood Crew if you want to, in the back at the information center. And maybe you'd say, I can't go get firewood, but I'd like to help financially pay for the wood permits or somebody's fuel. It is quite a journey to Elk City and back, so it'll cost some fuel money also, so. Lots of ways you can help with that, or just come camp out and have fun. But God bless you guys. Have a great week. Thank you.